الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد before I السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته before I begin the proceedings for today just a couple of reminders which is that since you are all taking the trouble to come all this way if you come 5 minutes earlier that will be of great use to you and to me because then you can see whatever is happening from the beginning and also when I start speaking which I have to start speaking at the appropriate time it does not disturb your salah and you will also have time to pray 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid before you sit down and that is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said do not sit when you enter a masjid do not sit until you pray 2 rakat nafil tahiyatul masjid so anytime you enter a masjid you pray 2 rakat nafil tahiyatul masjid if you have already sat down then you don't have to pray you can continue to sit but if you did not sit down then you must try to pray 2 rakat before you sit down there is a hadith actually where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering the khutbah in Jummah and a man came he entered the masjid and he was about to sit down and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped the khutbah in mid sentence and he told him pray 2 rakat before you sit so tahiyatul masjid is a very important part of the salah and therefore it is something that's to be done as much as possible the only time there is no tahiyatul masjid is if the jamaat has already started if the salah has already started then you don't pray tahiyatul masjid you join the jamaat among the ahnaf imam abu hanifa also included the arabic khutbah as part of that so he said that during the arabic khutbah also if you enter the masjid then sit and listen to the khutbah do not pray anything do not pray any tahiyatul masjid or anything like this Allah alam these are the differences of opinion among the scholars so we don't have to get into that but inshallah it is the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid before you sit so if you come 5 minutes earlier the talk starts at 1 precisely today I started about 3 minutes later but normally it starts exactly at 1 so if you come by 5 to 1 or 10 to 1 then you will have time to do everything peacefully without being disturbed in your salah by me speaking the second thing that I would like to remind myself and you is that we are about to enter into the best days of the year and these are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah which will Allah knows best it will probably start either on the 8th or the 9th of November depending on when the moon is sighted according to the calendar the dates that are given here today is the 27th of Dhulqa'dah and therefore the 29th of Dhulqa'dah will be on Sunday and if the moon is sighted on Sunday evening then we will have the first of Dhulhijjah from Monday morning which is the 8th or if it is not sighted on Sunday then it will the Dhulhijjah will start from Tuesday morning which is the 9th now these days are Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith he said that these days are the best days of the year and that includes Ramadan so these days are even better than the days of Ramadan except the nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan are superior because those nights contain Laylatul Qadr so the days are better than any days and the deeds the good deeds that are done during these days are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any other good deeds done during any other time of the year so when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this the sahaba asked him ridwanullahi alaihim ajmain they said ya rasulullah even if what about if a man goes out in jihad fi sabilillah in the other parts of the year except these 10 days so they asked him they said you are saying that these days are the best days of the whole year and the deeds done during these days the first 10 days of Dhulhijjah are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any other deeds done at any other time of the year So they said, what about if a man goes out in jihad fi sabilillah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even that, except if the man goes out in jihad fi sabilillah and does not return. Meaning that if he is shaheed, then he is shaheed. That's a different level for shuhada. But other than that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even jihad fi sabilillah in the other days of the year is less in virtue and reward than the good deeds done during these days. So what are the good deeds? It is highly recommended to fast, to keep fast during these first 10 days. So fast all the 10 days. The benefit of that is that the special reward for the fast of Arafat, about which once again when the time comes, we are going to have a lot of SMSs and emails flying back and forth. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Arafat, people are standing there today. So how can Arafat hear me tomorrow? And all kinds of logical and illogical arguments. There is no need to get into any of that. Just fast all 10 days and you have Arafat. Khalas. Just like you make i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan and you have Lailatul Qadr, irrespective of whether it's on the 21st or the 27th or the 29th or whatever. So the safest bet is this. Now, since I raised that topic of when is Yawmul Arafat, Yawmul Arafat is the name for the 9th of Dhul Hajj. It is not necessary that Yawmul Arafat means that somebody is standing in Arafat. It is the day for the 9th. On that day, the people who are doing Hajj are standing in Arafat. But it is the day, the name of the day is Yawmul Arafat. It's like Yawmul Eid. So he said, the day of Eid is which day? It's not the day when people are celebrating Eid in Saudi Arabia. It's not the name of the day when people are celebrating Eid in Washington. It is the day of the first of Shawwal as far as Ramadan is concerned. Or it is the day which is the Yawmul Eid of Eid al-Adha. So whenever that date comes in whichever country you live in, that is Yawmul Arafah for you. No matter whether the Arafah as in Hajj is over or not over, that is not the criterion for Yawmul Arafah for the whole world. The whole world does not have Yawmul Arafah on the same day. Just like, and this is a beautiful example that is given by Shaykh Ibn al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, he said, just like the sun rises at different times and you do not pray Salatul Fajr in your country when Salatul Fajr is being prayed in Makkah. If you pray Salatul Fajr in India, when Salatul Fajr is being prayed in Makkah, you will be praying Salatul Fajr at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now that might sound nice to some of us, to pray Salatul Fajr at 9, but it doesn't work. Right? So you pray Fajr when the sun rises in your country. You don't say, well, you know, I am praying Fajr according to Makkah. You cannot pray according to Makkah because the times of these months and the times of the days are dependent on the sun and the moon. They are not dependent on what is happening in Makkah. So simplest way to understand that, the calendar of months depends on the moon. The day depends on the sun. So whatever you do which refers to any of the ibadat which are on a daily basis, you do depending on the sunrise in your country. And if you do any of the ibadat that depend which relate to the days and the weeks and the months, you do that according to the moonrise and the moonset in your country. What is happening in Makkah is not material to that issue. So please understand this remove all doubts from your mind and remove the doubts from the minds of our brothers who suddenly wake up to the fact that we actually have a lunar calendar on these two or three days of the year. And the rest of the year doesn't matter when the moon is rising, shining and setting, makes no difference. So it's only for these two, 3 days of the year. Suddenly there are these heated debates and great jihad among the Muslims about whether Eid should be today or tomorrow. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. I think we have to get out of these unnecessary complications in life. To come to the topic of today, I thought the thing that we need to look at and remind ourselves as much as possible is the whole issue of Salah. And therefore the topic of today is As-Salatu Mi'raj al-Mu'min, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said the Salat is the Mi'raj of the Mu'min. My brothers and sisters, it is the way of kings that when somebody goes to them, someone goes to visit them and pay homage to them, kings give gifts. It's the way of kings that they give gifts. And who is the real king? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqqu La Ilaha Illa Huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. Allah says, Al Malikul Haqq, the real king, the king in truth, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haq. Allah said that may the name and the glory of the king on most high. Who is that? Ar-Rabbul Arshul Kareem. Ar-Rabbul Arshul Kareem. Allah is the Rabb of the Arshul Kareem. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Isra wal Miraj, the journey to Jerusalem and then the ascension to the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a gift. And what was that gift? That gift was the permission to come into his presence, not only on that day of Miraj, because that happened once in his whole lifetime and never for anybody else. Allah gave him the permission to come into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anytime he wished. And if you look at the whole hadith of Mi'raj and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately the way we present these things, we make a gift sound like a burden. And we say Allah ne 50 namaz ne fard ki. तो अब ये जान पे मुसीबत लाद दी गई, 50 नमाज है फर्ज हो, सोचने की बात है। दिस इज अनफॉर्चुनेटली द वे वी प्रेजेंट, द वे वी प्रेजेंट, वी मेक समथिंग गुड लुक लाइक समथिंग बैड। सो वी से 50 टाइम्स। नाउ व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ 50 टाइम्स इन अ डे? 24 आवर्स 50 टाइम्स इज एवरी हाफ आवर, राइट? सो एवरी हाफ आवर, एंड इफ यू आर प्रेइंग फॉर, इवन इफ यू आर प्रेइंग फॉर 3-4 मिनट्स, आई मीन दैट्स लाइक द होल डे इन सलाह, सुभान अल्लाह। Now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, come and be in my presence for 24 hours of the day. Now does that sound like a good thing or a bad thing? What does it sound like? Allah is saying, the door of my court is open to you. Any time of the day. 50 times of the day. 50 times in a day. Or more, because these are the fara'id, these are the fard salah. This does not include the nawafil and the sunan and so on. The gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, of course, I'm not going into the whole hadith in detail, but we know it well enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested, because Musa alayhi salam advised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the issue of human psychology. And Musa alayhi salam said, look, I know these people. You will take this to them as a gift and they will see it as a burden. So get it reduced. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back and forth, and eventually it got reduced to 5. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is again the attribute of Allah as the Malikul Haq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said 5, but the reward is for 50. So the reward will not be reduced. Number, okay, number is reduced, but we just ante up the reward. So instead of getting 1:1, you're getting 1:10. So you got 50. Reward for 50 anyway. So this is the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the issue is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this beautiful gift to rejuvenate ourselves, to charge our batteries, to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to solve all our issues in this life. You know, we are used to people saying, telling us, this is al-alamul asbab. We say, this is the world of means. Now remember this. In the alamul asbab, the afzalul asbab is as-salah. In the world of means, the best means is salah. The salah is not from some other world. You're not going to make salah in the khabar. You're not going to make salah on the day of Hashr. You're not going to make salah, and there's no salah in Jannah, inshallah. May Allah gather us all in Jannah. Salah is of this world. So if this is alam al-asbab, then everything that is done in this world is part of asbab. And out of all the asbab, which is the afzalul asbab? As-salah. Why? Because salah is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is the reward for iman. When we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah, when we accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our ma'bud, and we say I do not worship anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are given a reward. That is the entry and this is the card which shows that here is the person who belongs. And what is their entry card? What is the reward? Salah. As soon as I shahadu an la ilaha illallah wa shahadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. The moment you say no one is worthy of worship again other than Allah, then what do you need? You need the way to worship. If no one is worthy of worship other than Allah, then how do I worship? This is the way you worship. So salah is the reward for iman. And that is why in Surah Taha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam, and he said how Musa alayhi salam came into his presence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam, and what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimis salata li dhikri. Allah said, verily truly I am your Rabb, la ilaha illa ana, there is no one worthy of worship except me. And as soon as Musa alayhi salam accepts that, what does Allah say? Aqimis salah, establish salah for what? Li dhikri, for my dhikr, to remember me. The Anbiya understood the value of salah, and that is why Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua, Rabbi jalni muqima salati wa min zurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Rabbi jalni muqima salat, O Allah, make me among those who worship, wa min zurriyati, and also my zurriya, my children, my offspring. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua, O Allah, accept our dua. The Anbiya understood the value of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned salah as the sign of distinguishing the mu'mineen from others. How do you know somebody is a Muslim? By seeing whether the person performs salah or not. Does the person pray? How do you know a person is Muslim? Because iman is in the heart, we do not know what's in the heart. We know only what we can see, and what can we see? We can see salah. So what is the condition of iman? Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Truly the mu'mineen are successful. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Who are they? Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually did two things there. Alladhina hum fi salatihim, meaning they are in their salah, which means they pray. Khashi'un, the internal condition of salah. They fear Allah and they revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the awe and majesty of Allah is in their hearts when they are praying. What is the sign of the mu'mini? That they pray, and they pray in a certain way to a certain level of quality. So it tells us that not all salah is equal. And let us see what the Quran tells us about the different kinds of salah. There is a salah for which, may Allah protect us from this salah, but there is a salah for which we will actually be punished. Now that does not mean therefore we don't pray. Because if we don't pray, you are exit from Islam. So we don't do that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith, he said, Al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the covenant between them and us, the differentiator between them and us, who are the them? The them are the non-believers, the people who are not Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the covenant between them and us is as-salah. Faman tarakaha, the one who leaves it, faqad kafara, he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. Based on this, the fiqh of all the four a'immah is that somebody who deliberately, without any excuse, deliberately leaves even one salah has exited Islam. If that person dies in that state, that person is dying on a state of kufr. One salah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Faman tarakaha," singular. He did not say, "Faman tarakahum." Faman tarakaha, one salah. Deliberately to leave even one salah is kufr. So if unknowingly if we have done something, of course there is no sin on the one who does something without knowledge, but immediately we need to make tawbah and we need to ensure that we never repeat that kind of thing again. Deliberately to leave one salah, no matter what the reason. Because in salah, if you remember, if you cannot stand, if you cannot pray in a masjid, you pray wherever you are. If you cannot pray standing up, you pray sitting down. If you cannot pray sitting down, you pray lying down. If you cannot, even in lying down, if you are, may Allah protect us from such illnesses, but supposing you are lying down and you cannot even make any movement, then you just blink your eyelids and you pray with that ishara. If you have wudu for salah, wudu is shart. But if you are in a situation where you do not have wudu and there is no water, you are allowed to make tayammum and you are allowed to pray. If you are in a state of janaba where ghusl is fard on you, but there is no water to make ghusl, but there is enough water to make wudu, you are allowed to make wudu instead of ghusl and pray. If there is no water even for wudu, but you have to make ghusl, you are allowed to make tayammum instead of ghusl and pray. If you are in a place where there is not even scope for tayammum, I'm just going to the extreme. If you are in a place where there is not even scope for tayammum, you are allowed to and you are supposed to pray without anything, without any ghusl, without any wudu, and your prayer is valid. You do not have to repeat that salah. And that is the condition of jabar, or the condition of being majboor, or the condition of darura in the sharia. So don't apply that for the sake of convenience. It doesn't work. That you have to be in such a total state of, helplessness that there is absolutely no chance for anything else. So, I am just informing you of the masala. Since we have started the masala, I must tell you the whole story. So, this is the whole story. Point being, that salah is not something that we leave for any reason under any circumstances. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it is the differentiator between them and us. Al ahadul ladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah faman tarakaha faqad kafara. It's a very serious matter. It's a very, very serious matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the one who leaves it is a kafir. So very important for us to understand what is the salah and the importance of it. Now, as I told you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said qad aflaha al-mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. The mu'minin are successful and they are the ones who pray with khashiyah. So obviously we understand from this that not all salah is equal, that there is an issue of quality of salah. There is a salah which if you pray that way, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn how to pray properly. There is a salah, if we pray that way, we will actually get punished. And what is the ayat of the Quran which tells us this? Allah said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاةِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. In Surah Ma'un, Arayat al-Ladhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Allah said, the curse be on the people who pray. Pray how? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. People who delay the prayer. Why do we delay prayer? For our convenience. There's no other reason. For our convenience. We delay salah. I can't wake up early enough, or I've got some work, I've got this, I've got that. I will pray, I've got a meeting. What is Allah saying? Allah is saying a curse on those who pray by delaying the salah. Now you might say, well, the salah has a beginning time and an ending time, so what big deal if I pray, as long as I pray before the time for salah ends. That's your argument. The one who made the rule is saying something else. Why? Because the intention, innama al-amalu bin niyat. The intention, why are we delaying? There is one who has no alternative and therefore it got delayed, and the reason why there is not just one death. Zuhr is at 1. Khalas, if you don't pray at 1, there's no Zuhr. Allah did not make this rule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Zuhr is from this time to this time. That is an ijazah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sahulat that is given. But if somebody is showing an attitude of disregard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, hey, it's okay, we'll pray. He said, brother, time for salah. No, adhan. Yeah, it's okay. That's, we'll pray. There is still time. Now that shows an attitude of disregard and disrespect towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. People who delay the salah, curse on them. And then الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ. And the people who do good deeds to show others. So praying in such a way with the intention, and again Allah knows the intention best. Praying in such a way that you feel that other people should look at me and say, subhanAllah, look at his salah, mashallah, you know, angels are descending on his head or something. If that is the intention, then that salah is shirk. Now imagine, what is the tragedy of that? The man is standing in salah and is committing shirk in salah. So that is one kind of salah. May Allah protect us from this salah and teach us how to make it better. There is a second kind of salah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ankabut, Allah said, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Allah said, verily the salah separates you from the shameless things and from all disobedience. So what is the test to see if our salah is worthy of being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If our salah is doing what it is supposed to do, what is the test? Is the salah separating us from what is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is the salah a barrier between us and sin? Is the salah protecting me from sin? If I find I am praying, but then I am also going to the casino. If I am praying and I am also going and doing something which is haram. If I am praying and I am also lying and cheating. If I am praying, I am also making riba. I am praying, I am also doing. Then that means there is something seriously wrong with the salah. Because the salah is supposed to separate you from all these things. And if it is not separating you from these things, what does it mean? It means the quality of the salah is bad. So we need to work on the salah. Because how is it possible that a person is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the full awareness that he is standing before Allah, and then the moment he says salam, he then goes and commits bid'at, or he makes sujood to a khabar, or he asks help from other than Allah, or he gambles, or he steals, or he lies, or he cheats, or he whatever. I mean, subhanAllah, I think there is a long list. I don't have to go into the whole list. But the point I'm saying is, how is it possible? How is this possible? It's only possible if that salah is wrong. If that salah is not giving us the reward that salah gives us. The salah is not doing anything to my heart. Then this is possible. So we have to look at our salah and say, if I am doing anything wrong, then that means something is wrong with my salah. Work on it. And then there is a salah about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this salah, they are those who pray. And how do they pray? Allah said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah said, they are the people who stand, they get up from their sides, in the night, from their beds, they get up in the night, and they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state which is between khawf and tamar, a state which is between fear and hope. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They stand before Allah in that state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it so much, Allah actually described this state in the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if they only knew what I have prepared for them because of what they do, they will be very happy. It will become a coolness of their eyes. Allah has promised reward for salah of that nature, where you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bain al khawf wa tamah, between khawf and tamah. Qualities of salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also described for us how this salah is to be done. Where Allah said, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil qum al-layla illa qaleela nisfahu aw inqus minhu qaleela aw zid 'alayhi wa rattil al-qur'ana tartila. Allah said, oh, and this is the beauty of, this is the position of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to his Nabi in words of such love and such beauty. Allah says, oh, the one who is wrapped up in blankets, stand up and worship Allah. Qum al-layla illa qaleela. Worship Allah for the whole night except for a little bit.
أوزد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا and recite the Quran in a beautiful manner. What has been sent to you? Allah says, سنا ہمارا کلام ہم نے آپ کو آپ بھیجا ہے آپ کو سنا جتنا یاد ہے اتنا. عجیب علی کیسی محبت کا کلام ہے اپنے نبی کے ساتھ. کیا مقام ہے حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا. اللہ ہمارے پر رحم کرے اور اللہ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی عظمت جو ہمارے دلوں میں اور سینوں میں ہونی چاہیے اس کو اللہ لے کر آئے اور رکھے. تو یاد رکھے اگر اللہ کے نبی کی عظمت قلب میں نہیں ہے تو کافر ہے, کفر ہے. اگر اللہ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے ساتھ اگر گستاخی کرتا تو کافر ہے. How do we bring about this quality of salah that we want? Number one, we begin with working on ourselves outside of salah. You bring the quality of salah comes because of what we do outside of salah. First and foremost, what must we do outside of salah is constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously dhikr in terms of anything that we speak. Any of the ayat of the Quran, to read the Quran is dhikr of Allah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in gatherings is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recite durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, Allah alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, whatever, all of these kalimat is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to constantly be in a state of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am standing before Allah, that Allah is watching me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows me. Now once again, it's the sad thing of the way we present this. Once again, we present this as if this is a burden. As if I am a thief and Allah is a policeman, Allah is watching me always, so I have to fear. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. The biggest problem is how we present this deen. We present salah as if it's a burden. Le jao gampa patko chale jao. Mazdoori kare waise. Ho gaya sahab namaz khatam ho gayi. Allah ke nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam namaz padhe. Jab Allah ka jo Allah ka inaam tha wo inaam ko is tarah se pesh kiya ke wo inaam aadmi ko laga ke to bojh hai mere sar ke upar. Halka karna hai isko, utha ke patko aur khalas karo to mera kaam halka ho gaya. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تو ترستے تھے نماز کے لیے. He used to wait for salah. About and so also sahaba, somebody asked one of the khuddam of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, was one of the great mufassirin of the Quran and one of the great muhaddithin of this deen. Somebody asked him, tell me about his day, what does he do? The man said, he prays and then he recites the Quran until the next prayer. That's his day. He says, poor Adil. While he is doing everything else, he says he makes salah, then he recites the Quran until the next salah. Can you imagine? I mean, what kind of lives were these? And what is the beauty of that? What is the beauty of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the beauty of always living in a state of awareness? Allah is watching me. What is the beauty of that? The beauty of that is any fear from your heart will disappear completely. Subhanallah. I mean, these are the things that we have to show people the beauty of that. It's not a burden, for God's sake. Now, Obama is coming to India. So today there's a big list of how many planes and how many ships and how much security and what not. All of that, what is it supposed to do for Obama? Give him peace of mind. Give him peace of mind. To say that nobody can harm me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. La nafi wa la dara illa Allah. Nobody can harm and nobody can benefit except Allah anyway. But I'm just saying that why does a person surround himself with security so that he feels comfortable? He feels comfortable. He has peace of mind. Nobody can harm me. Now tell me, what is a Muslim supposed to do? You are surrounded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching you and me. And who is this Allah? This is the Allah I worship. This is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I worship. This is the Allah I speak to. So I'm supposed to feel what? A sense of burden? Or a sense of great rejoicing? A great peace of mind? That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah said, verily in the dhikr of Allah is the itminan of the qalb. How do we get itminan of the qalb when the dhikr of Allah is a burden? Think about that. You can only get it minana the qalb in the zikr of Allah. You look forward to the zikr of Allah. So how to bring khushu in the salah? How to bring concentration in the salah? By zikr of Allah, awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second one is to guard the eyes. The eyes are the root to the soul. The eyes are the root to the heart. So what do? You guard the eyes. You do not see anything which is haram. Because believe me, if you see something which is haram, you know when you will remember it? When you are standing on the musalla. And it will destroy your salah. All your concentration will go because you are remembering whatever rubbish that you saw. Please remember that. If that rubbish which is haram, if you saw, if that rubbish was live, it is going to die one day, it will be in the qabr. If that rubbish that you saw is inanimate, it will be on the garbage dump in some country or the other one day. It's not worth it. What goes with us is the zikr of Allah. So guard your eyes from haram. Third point, tahara, purity. Always try to be in a state of wudu. We don't have the time to go into all the masail of tahara and wudu here obviously. But always try to be in a state of wudu. Always try to be in a state of purity. It's very easy. Every time you go to the toilet, you make wudu. Khalas. I mean, you are 24 hours in a state of wudu. Then, when you stand for salah, make niyyah. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the shaitan, because only Allah can protect us from shaitan. Make the niyyah for the salah. And then you start and say Allahu Akbar, which is called Takbir al-Tahreema. Say Allahu Akbar with understanding that you're saying Allah is Akbar. There's no one bigger than Allah. There's no one more important than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life. Allahu Akbar. Takbir al-Tahreema is called Tahreema because it makes everything else haram. The whole world is haram. When I'm standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's only Allah and me. Khalas. Nobody else. No worries and no thoughts and no nothing. Allah and me. And then you recite Surah Fatiha. And once again, I have mentioned this earlier, but I'm not going to go into the details now. We don't have enough time. But Surah Fatiha is the surah about which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Hadith of Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. You say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hamdani Abdi, my slave has worshipped me. You say, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Manjadini Abdi, my slave has remembered the fact that I am Rahman and Rahim. And so on. For each of the ayat of Surah Fatiha, there is a response and reply from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stand there with the awareness of this. We stand there with the awareness of this. Allah is responding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to what I'm saying. State of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you recite whatever else of the Quran that you know, or if you are standing behind the Imam, you listen to the recitation of the Imam, try to concentrate on the meaning of what is being said. You know, one of the primary reasons why our thoughts stray here and there, because we don't understand what is being recited. Now obviously if I was standing here and speaking to you in Malayalam, and you do not know Malayalam, your thoughts will go here and there. Because you don't know what I'm saying. But I'm speaking to you in English, you understand English, therefore your concentration is on me, your thoughts are not going here and there. Even though my kalam is not comparable to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it that you have concentration when I am speaking to you, but when Allah is speaking to you, your thoughts stray here and there? Because we don't understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must try to learn at least enough Arabic to understand the Quran which is normally recited in salah. Normal salahs, whatever is recited, we usually recite small surahs or we recite some ayats from the bigger surahs. Read those. At least read the meanings of that so that your concentration will remain. Then the movements of salah, each one is very important. Rasulullah said, do not pray like a crow is drinking water. You know, just tap, tap, tap. No. Each movement must be performed deliberately with calmness, and you stay in that position until the body has come to a rest. So when you make ruku, you make the full ruku, you stay there until the body has come to a rest, and you recite the tasbihat of ruku 5 times, 7 times. And then when you stand up completely. You don't do a half stand and then dive into sajda. No. You stand up completely and you stay in that position and you make the dua, and then you go into sujood and you stay in the sajda, and then you sit between the sujood and you make the dua,
Now again, we don't have time now to explain the whole salah to you, inshallah. As and when there is opportunity, I will do that. But the point I am making is that do remember, calmness is part of salah. The moment Rasulullah said in a famous hadith, he said, who is the worst thief than the one who steals in salah? So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, how can anybody steal in salah? He said, the one who does not do the movements properly is stealing in salah. If he's doing a quick sujood or he's doing half a standing up after ruku or whichever method, he said, the one who does not do the movements properly in salah is stealing from salah. So make all the movements fully. And then when we complete the salah in our heart, we must complete it with a sense of loss. Because now we are about to leave the darbar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, Allah had allowed me to come into His presence, into His court, to speak to Him, and that time is over. And now I am going back in the world. Go with a sense of loss. Because then you will have a sense of anticipation and wanting to come back into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as quickly as possible. So then you will pray the sunan, then you will pray nawafil, and then you wait for the second adhan, and you say, subhanAllah, okay, back again. And that is the whole that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, ya Bilal, call the adhan, make room and make means for the coolness of my eyes. Anticipation, I'm going back into the presence of Allah, alhamdulillah. Allah has given me life to go back into His presence again. Sense of anticipation. I will end with the hadith of what is called Hadith Jibrail, which is the hadith which talks about the state of salah, the desired state of salah, where in Hadith Jibrail, Jibrail salam is a long hadith, and one of the questions that Jibrail salam asked Rasulullah was to describe al-ihsan. So he said, qala fa'akhbirni anil ihsan. He said, Jibrail salam said, inform me about al-ihsan. Qala, which Rasulullah said, أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى فإن لم تنترى فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يرى. What did he say? كأنك ترى. He said, worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. Worship Allah كأنك ترى, as if you are seeing Him. فإن لم تكن ترى, and if you cannot see Him, فإنه يرى. But Allah sees you. He said, you cannot see Allah, but Allah can see you. So worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that sense that I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why salah is called Mi'raj al-Mumin. Because that is the closest that we can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. There will be a time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us all together on that day, when we will actually see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of grace, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. Because there are also people who will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where Allah will not be pleased with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Sajdah. وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُ رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Allah said, if you could see them when they will stand on the day of judgment, and they will see whatever is happening on the day of judgment, which includes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all His glory and majesty, and they will hang their heads in shame, and they will say, oh Allah, we have seen and we have heard, send us back so that we will be obedient. And Allah will say, that time is over. Let us not be among those. Let us be among those who Allah is pleased with. That when we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His throne, let us be among those, may Allah make us among those who will go to Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on His house, and who will drink the water of Kawthar from his hand, inshallah. May I also have said that people will come to me when I am standing on my house. He said, people will come to me and I will recognize them from their signs. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what are the signs? He said, their faces and their hands and their feet will be shining with the signs of wudu. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they come close to me, the malaika will drive them away with whips. And I will ask the malaika, why are you driving them away? These are my ummatis. The malaika will say, Ya Rasulullah, you do not know what they did to your deen after you left. They will also go to the house. They will also see Rasulullah on the house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they will be driven away from there and into the hellfire. Let us not be among those. Let us be among those
who will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his throne and Allah will be pleased with us. Let us be among those who will see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his house and he will be pleased with us and he will give us the water of the house to drink which will take away our thirst forever. Let us be among those, may Allah make us among those who will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam across the sirat with the speed of lightning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will enter Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include all of us and all of those who are associated with us, those who have gone before and those who are yet to come among our families and those who are associated with us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب اليك. We make